You know, I feel like so many times we hear, you know, stories about this guy named Paul, whose name was Saul, and we hear this guy about this guy named David, who was probably 15 years old. We hear about this guy, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. These guys that gave their life to the Lord. I think sometimes we just seem to hear about somebody who's alive today who's had an experience. And I was just thinking about myself. I'm not that selfish, but I was thinking about myself. And just about the amazing transformation and life experience that I've had in the past 4.5 years. Indescribable, I can't really explain it. Most people don't believe it when I tell them. They say, they laugh at me most of the time when I tell them. But it's true, I wasn't killing people or anything. Come on, you can loosen up. But I was living in a complete life of sin, and I was lost, and some of you have heard this, but I feel like we got a lot of new people, so I feel like it's good for me to say it again. And sexual sin and drugs and alcohol from like the age of 13. Anger and anger is a really big one. I was really, really dealt with anger and really, really insecure, always meditating and dwelling on the worst things you could think of. Anyway, just from one thing to the next. And one day God spoke to me. I wasn't raised in a Christian home or anything. I was a complete different person than I am today. And I think I'm kind of a better person today, I hope. And God completely turned my life around. And now I get to lead with people like Quentin Vincent, who came and gave the tithe. And did an amazing job. And people like Christina Leon and Wade and Seth and Elena and Matt Stinson and Quillen and Anna and just some amazing people, Reed and Mariah and Gabby and Andrew and all these people that are getting married and James Phillips and Andrew Meisner, just all these really amazing people that I have come into contact with and been able to live with and not necessarily live, but you know what I mean, live life with, share life with, and had the opportunity. And when we were singing the song, I just said, Lord, you are good. And I really meant it because I've seen him be good in my life, and I've seen how good he really is. So God really is good. And those are kind of just broad statements about who I was, but we don't need to go into details. Just know I was dead in my sin, like Ephesians 2 says. So I really do believe, and I know with all my heart, God is good. We serve a good God. That's why we're here tonight. It's because we serve a good God. Amen? Yeah. Anybody else had that experience? Anybody else had an experience of getting saved? Anybody get saved before? The reality is all of us came from the same place. All of us came from a place of being dead in sin, and God saved us, brought us into light. Now he's calling us not just to say we have it, but to actually live it and to live holy. This morning I woke up and I was kind of in a hurry and I was kind of in a hurry doing some things. I kind of shared this with my brother, Reed, who's leading with his wife the junior high ministry. Some of you guys are here tonight. But this morning, I got up this morning, I was in a hurry. I didn't want to be late to work, and one thing led to another. My wife asked me to do something simple, and I responded wrong, and I actually sinned against her. I raised my voice, and I actually yelled at her. I sinned against her. And it was wrong. It was wrong. I was thinking about an introduction and what I could talk about tonight, and I wanted to start off with that I make mistakes, that I fall. And what I did was not, I don't justify it in any way that, oh, well, I barely did anything, and I'm going to let your minds wander about how bad it really was, because I really don't care. All that matters is that I sinned. I wanted to confess that tonight and tell you that me, myself, I sin. And I make mistakes. And last week was a really hard message, talking about being holy. I'm here to tell you that the First John chapter 2 says that, John writes, he says that I write these things so that you do not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The good news is that after that, me and my wife are in a complete good relationship and complete reconciliation, and God redeemed the whole situation. He always does. Whenever we get in little things, they only last for an hour. The most, probably the most they ever last is 5 minutes, because she's always humbled, and she always humbles herself and makes it right. She's amazing. But so the good news is that, the tough news is that we have to live holy. The good news is that we fall, there's grace, and there's mercy. Excuse me. The Bible says in, my goodness, Proverbs 24, that it says that though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets up again. He gets up again. When we think about being holy and living holy, when we fall, some people condemn themselves and they don't want to get back up, or they can't get back up because they're condemning themselves so much. And I didn't get up and I didn't receive forgiveness because I forgave myself, or because I've done some good things in the past, or because of my name or my heritage, or even because I'm a Christian. But I was able to get up and to experience reconciliation in this situation simply by the grace of God. Simply by God's mercy that is new every day. Simply because someone is declared righteous, not because of what they've done, but because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. And that we and any of us in here can experience the righteousness of God simply by faith. That we can be righteous, not just with one another, but righteousness in regards with God the Father, the judge of all the earth, of all the living and the dead. That we can experience and receive complete righteousness and justification simply by faith. That's good news. That no matter what you've done and how far you've gone, there is forgiveness for sins, for all that you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible talks to us about Jesus and how much he endured. The Bible says that he went to the depths of hell, and he went into Hades. That he died, he experienced death. The Bible talks about how the wrath of God was bestowed on him to cover for our sins, because our sins deserve wrath. Our sins deserve punishment. And Jesus bore those. And I don't know about you, but I don't think any of us have borne the sin of man. If you ask me, that's pretty low. If you ask me, that's pretty far. If you ask me, going into hell is pretty low. But then the good news is that Jesus rose again. Amen? And this is the better news. A lot of good news tonight. The better news is that Jesus Christ, his spirit that rose him from the dead, now lives in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead now dwells in our mortal bodies and gives life to our mortal bodies. So that's the good news. The good news is that it doesn't matter how far you've gone or what situation you're in or what you've done or haven't done. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you allow him by faith in the grace of God, he can lift you up. And he can take you out of any situation, any circumstance. Can somebody say amen? Because I know more people have experienced this than me. Amen? It doesn't matter where we've gone. I want to hit that, because some people think that we've done something too bad, or that somebody's done something too bad to us that we can't receive forgiveness. But I believe in a God that's a little bit bigger than that. He's a lot bit bigger than that. And there's forgiveness for any sin. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has given us a spirit of power. Not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. And the spirit of power lives in us. The Bible says that's the mystery of the gospel, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Nobody can say that God lives in them except us as Christians. We have the ability and the opportunity to say that God, the creator of the whole universe, lives inside of us. Earlier today, James said, when we were in the pre-service, he said that everything we need is right here. We don't need to go out there. We don't need to go looking for something. Everything we need is right here, because Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is right here in our midst. That's good news. So I want to encourage you from last week. I hope I didn't beat people up. I just was preaching when I felt like I was supposed to speak. But the good news today is that If you fall in the past week, you can stand up just like I did. And I stood up not because of who I am, I stood up because of what Jesus did. Amen? Amen. Tonight I don't want to talk about too much, I want to talk about the walk. I want to talk about the walk. So would you flip with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. I haven't even started my message yet. Taking too much time. Is anybody alive out there? Come on. I'm getting there. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians is after Philippians, which is after Ephesians. So it's somewhere right there, kind of the middle of the New Testament. You ready? I'm going to start reading. It says, as you, say as me. As me. Come on, say as me.
As me.
Say as for me.
As me.
Okay. As you therefore have received Christ. Say, I have received Christ.
I have received
Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, say in Him, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus is God in the body. And you are complete in Him. Say, I am complete
in Christ.
Who is the head of all principality and power. You don't have to say that. What happened there? In Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I don't want to explain all that. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through the faith and the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Did you hear that? You also were raised with Him. Who's Him? Jesus, right? You were raised with Him through faith in the working of God. Some translations say in the power of God. So how were we raised? We were raised by putting our faith in the power of God. And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Say all.
All.
Having wiped out the handwriting and requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. And would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You for Your mercy. God, we thank You for Your grace. God, we thank You for the cross. God, we thank You that You disarmed principalities and powers. God, You took from them any power that they had. God, that we could rise again with You and live a new life with You. God, we thank You for Your spirit that's alive with us and in us and is making Your habitation. You are making Your habitation with us, within our innermost being. God, You live and You move. And so, God, we thank You for what You want to do tonight. God, I pray You'd open up Your word to us. You'd show us things. God, You'd convict our hearts. You'd transform our minds. God, You'd teach us how to live a life worthy of the calling. We bless You, God, tonight. In Jesus' name. I'm not really a walker. Does anybody like walking? Honey, raise your hand. I was waiting for her to raise her hand. She wouldn't raise her hand. She likes walking probably... Because I just don't like walking. Like, I walk when I speak, but that doesn't mean I like walking. It's just because I just got to do it. I don't know why I walk when I speak. But some people just like walking. I don't like walking. I don't understand. If we're going to go somewhere to drive, or really, just if it's around the corner, just run there. When I was younger, my dad would always tell, like, he would never get himself a glass of water. He'd just sit there and look at me. Son, get me water. Dad, you don't like to walk, do you? No, I don't like to walk. And I don't know if it's just laziness or just I don't know what it is, but I just know that I don't like to walk. I can't stand walking. But the problem is that my wife does. Ashley really likes to walk. Yeah, you do. Do you, honey? Well, anyway, I think she does. No, she's always asking. Like on a Sunday afternoon, I'm like, I want to go up and just chill and just lay on the couch and rest and take a nap. And I'm usually tired. I want to just read a new book that I'm looking at or, you know, study and meditate on the scripture and be holy. And she wants to go on a walk. And she's like, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, baby, let's just go take a nap. She's like, no, let's go on a walk. I'm like, no, baby, let's go. I'll hold you in bed. She goes, no, baby, let's go on a walk. And I was like, baby, you're tired. She goes, yeah, let's go on a walk. I don't get that. Does anybody else understand that? Do you understand that? Is your wife the same way? Oh, my goodness. Aaron, your dad the same way? Oh, you're the same way. I don't know who else he's with. I'm not a walker. I don't like walking. And I think that I want to, for the next few weeks and for as long as God would allow me to, and we're going to have some guest speakers in a few weeks, our pastor Bradley Brisson. I don't know if you guys know Pastor Brad Brisson. He's going to come in here and teach us about something, talking about walking in the Spirit. So I'm trying to give my voice a rest and give you guys a break from me and try and get somebody else to come in here and speak. And so, but for the next weeks, I want to talk about something. I want to talk about a walk. I want to, if you will go with me, let's go on a walk. You guys want to go on a walk? Yes. I just want to go on a walk. Because I think that God likes experiences, and God likes it when people get fired up about something. But God likes a person who walks more than a person who sprints and then dies. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch, does anybody know who Enoch was? Enoch, the Bible says that he walked with God. Enoch was the first guy to be taken up into heaven. He didn't die, he just was gone. People say they don't believe in the rapture. Well, there it was. Right there, Enoch. Taken up with God. The Bible says that he was declared righteous because he walked with God. He walked with God. It also says in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah walked with God. It says in Genesis 48 that Abraham and Isaac walked with God. All these men were righteous men. In Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Leviticus is a scary book. I've never read it. I just got to say, I've never read the book. If you've read the book, then... Have you read it, Christian? No. You haven't read it? Man, I thought he was holier than that. I'm just kidding. Has anybody read the book of Leviticus? All the Stinsons have read it. Talks about walking in the statutes of God. The New Testament talks about walking in God too, or walking with God. When Jesus says to the disciples and I can't think of where it is right now. I think it's Matthew chapter 1 when he says, follow me. He was telling them to come and walk with me, because the word walk in the New Testament, it means to follow after something. It means to go along with something. And so he was telling them, come and walk with me. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, Paul says to walk in faith. In the next few weeks, I want to talk about walking in faith. The Bible talks about walking in love. The Bible talks about walking in the Spirit. Bible talks about walking in light. The Bible talks about walking as children of the light. I think God likes walkers. He likes people that walk. He doesn't say sprint. He doesn't say run. He says walk. So I want to talk about walking. Does anybody remember the story that I talked about last week? John chapter 5 about the paralytic? The invalid? Why are you laughing? Man, Lord, I pray for them right now. God, you just bless them where they are. Some of you are like, you're just laughing just because. You don't even know why you're laughing.
Now we do.
All right, so last week I said invalid. 3-4 times probably. All right, look, I grew up in Willow, so I went to this school. They didn't teach me vocabulary. I had to learn it myself. I was persecuted. I hate English class, so I'm going to say what I want to say. You just listen. Last week we talked about the invalid. My goodness, I'm saying the what is it called? The paraplegic? That's a big word. How about... Man. Let's talk about the paralytic. Is that a word? Shoot. Let's talk about the paraplegic. The crippled man. My goodness. That's an easier word. So we're going to talk about the crippled man. I can't believe I just said that. That's horrible. No, seriously though. So in John chapter 5, John chapter 5, it talks about this man who was physically crippled. He couldn't walk. He'd been like this for 38 years, for a long time. Now, something actually happened. History records that Jesus actually went to this guy, and the guy actually got healed. Physically, he was able to stand up and walk. Amen? So that's good news, that Jesus heals. But what last week, I kind of applied it with our spiritual lives, and today I want to apply it with our spiritual lives. Now, we can't relate. Now, I've got to say this real quick, because I just believe this. I don't think we can relate somebody that's injured with somebody that is not saved. I believe that somebody who was dead, like Lazarus, you guys remember Lazarus who was dead in a tomb? He represented somebody who was not saved. Because the Bible says that we were dead in our trespass. It doesn't say we were wounded. It says that we were dead. So I want to relate this guy in John chapter 5 with a Christian. Somebody who's alive, but somebody who's wounded. Somebody who's alive, but not moving. Does that make sense? You with me? So this guy represents a Christian. He represents somebody who is living an undisciplined lifestyle. Living a life that, and obviously I know he was paralyzed, but still, he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't doing anything with his life. He wasn't being who God had created him to be. But Jesus comes up into this situation, to a situation where somebody was completely broken. Even as Christians, there is still redemption. Even as Christians, there are still places where God redeems us from something. When you get saved, you're not perfect. Can anybody testify to that? So when we get saved, yes, we're perfect, but what the heck? Yes, we're not perfect, but God still, even at that place, can transform us from glory to glory and transform us from holiness to holiness. So Jesus comes up to this man in the midst of this guy's brokenness and his, I would say, undisciplined lifestyle, a lifestyle of being lazy, just sitting there. The guy was there for 38 years. Gabriel, he was paralyzed. Shut up. I know he was paralyzed. What are you laughing about? You guys can laugh, it's okay. And Jesus walks into this situation. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, the very exact expression of God comes into this situation and says, stand up. And now we have to understand that Jesus' words, he says in John chapter 6, that his words are life. His words are spirit and they are life. He says, the flesh profits nothing, but my words are life. And so when Jesus spoke, there was life in them. There was power in them. So at Jesus' words, when he told this man, stand up, that man at that moment then had the ability to stand up. So when Jesus comes to anybody in any situation or circumstance, if he says to somebody to do something, they then have the ability to do it. Before Jesus ever came, that man never would have been able to stand up. And that man never was able to stand up. Obviously, he was there for 38 years. And so all of a sudden, this man stands up. But Jesus doesn't stop there. And see, last week we talked about standing up, but he doesn't stop there. He says, pick up your mat and walk. And I want to talk about the walk. And I want to open up with this idea in this series about the walk. That I think it's amazing that this man who was paralyzed for 38 years, Jesus goes up to this man in the midst of probably crowds of people and he says, stand up and walk. That's like telling somebody that's deaf to listen. Telling somebody that's mute to speak up. Telling somebody that's blind to look over here. That didn't make sense for Jesus to say something that was impossible. But what does Jesus also say? He says, for what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so there's no limitations for God. We must understand that there is no... God created limitations for us. But with God, there are no limitations. God can do all things. The good news is that now that we are in Him, we can do all things with Him. Amen? So this guy doesn't stop with just standing up. Jesus tells him to walk. He tells him to walk. And if we think about this, this guy had been paralyzed for 38 years. Now, if somebody had miraculously just been naturally one day just got healed and was able to walk, it would still take them months to learn how to walk. Months, long time. They would need aid from... They would need medical assistance to be able to have rehab in their legs and to strengthen their muscles. But somehow this man who had been paralyzed for 38 years was able to stand up and walk? That's nonsense. That's ridiculous. That's the gospel. That shows how God can still work in our lives even though we're broken and hurting. This man was able to stand up and walk. He was seen later in the temple walking around. Jesus says to him, don't do anything worse, or don't sin again, lest something worse happens to you. We read it in Colossians 2:6. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. I took out the Amplified because I want to see what the Amplified translates as walking. And I found it interesting. They actually chose, out of all the scriptures or out of all the words they chose to translate, they chose the word walk. It says this, to regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. What was Enoch doing? Regulating his life and conducting himself in union with and in conformity to him. What did Jesus say in John 15? He says, abide in me, right? That's what this is saying. A walk is abiding in him. But how do we do it? He says it in the very beginning here. How do we receive Christ? We receive Christ by what? Faith, right? By faith we receive Christ. By faith, this man was able to believe that God was telling him to stand up and then actually physically stand up and be healed. But it says, just as you receive Christ, just as you were able to stand up, so walk in him. In other words, the same way that you stood up is the same way that you're going to walk. The same way that you stood up and were able to be forgiven of your sin is the same way that you are able to live a life day by day with Jesus and abide in him. Come on, amen? So how do we walk? We walk in his power. What power? The power that rose Jesus from the dead. You're saying that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. That's what I'm telling you. Well, what's my problem? You just haven't understood it yet. And neither have I. I haven't gotten the full revelation of it. But as I do, I begin to overcome sin day by day by day by day. And I go from glory to glory to glory to glory because the very power, man, if we got this revelation, we wouldn't be the same. God's power lives in us. How do I walk? By the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. This guy had to choose every day, I'm healed. And he had to physically decide that I'm going to walk. This guy didn't know how to walk. He'd seen people walk, but he didn't know how to walk. But something happened in his mortal being that he was able to walk because God's power was in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says that, don't take the grace of God in vain. And I looked this up. I want to see. I understand what it means, but I want to see what the Amplified, because I love the Amplified and how it breaks it down. Right, Mariah? I love the Amplified. It says that don't take that merciful. Check this out. This is how it describes grace. That merciful kindness by which God exerts in his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ. That's grace. Keeping and strengthening them. That's the grace. It's that merciful kindness by which God exerts in his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive that with no purpose. In other words, Jesus is saying this. Okay, this guy stood up and he received the power of God to be able to live a new life. It would have been like this. This would have been in vain if he would have stood up and just sat back down. And that's what most Christians do. That's what most people do when they get saved, is they stand up for a moment and they read their Bible and they come back from a camp out of GM a couple years ago and they're fired up for 3 weeks and then they fall and they don't understand why they're falling. It's because they're not walking. It's because they haven't chosen to walk. Well, I can't walk. Yes, you can walk, because if you're born again, you can walk. You can live life holy and worthy of the calling that God's called you to. Don't excuse yourself and don't say that you cannot walk. You can walk. You have the ability to walk. How? Because of the power of God that's on the inside of you, you can live holy. So don't take it in vain. Don't take it and don't not use it with purpose, but use it with purpose. Regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Not in laziness. Not in laziness. Not in mediocrity. God did not call us to mediocre. We serve a great God. We serve a God who rose from the dead. We serve a God who created the heavens and created the earth. We serve a God that split the seas and parted the seas and did so many miraculous signs in the desert for 40 years. We serve a God that came in human form and lived amongst man without sin. We serve a God who took upon all of our sin on a cross because he loved us. And then he died. And then he rose again. We serve a big God. And he doesn't want us to live in mediocrity. But he empowers us to live in power. He gives us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, of a disciplined lifestyle. How do I know that you can live a disciplined lifestyle? Well, my personality, I'm just not disciplined. And I used to tell myself that because my wife is probably one of the most disciplined people I know. She's an administrator. And she gets things done. And it blows me away. And I used to excuse myself. Well, I'm not like that. I'm just a random person. And God rebuked me one time. He said, no, I've given you the spirit of self-discipline. You have the ability to discipline yourself to walk a godly life. Not because of your stupid personality, but because of my spirit that's on the inside of you. And sometimes we excuse ourselves, my personality isn't good enough. And I don't know, we are personified by the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. I don't want a personality that people say, well, Gabriel's like, I want people to say, he is love, kindness, peace, joy. I want people to describe me as the Spirit of God. Amen? And one of those things is self-discipline. Did you know, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want to encourage you tonight that you can live godly. That you can discipline your life in holiness. Because I believe it. Because I've seen it in my life. I've seen where I've come from. And I can testify that these guys in this Bible really did experience it. And I too have experienced it. 2 Samuel chapter 11. He says it like this. So then it happened. It happened in the spring. What happened in the spring? It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. I don't know what the heck that is. But David, this is God's, he's after God's heart, right? What did he do? What does it say David did? We have so many different translations. What? He remained in Jerusalem. It was. Check this out. It happened one evening that David arose from his bed. Where's the NIV at? Does anybody have an NIV? Anybody? In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war. In the time when kings go off to war. Christianity is a war. Christianity is a battle. In the time that Gabriel woke up to go to war, he remained and said, I'm not going to war today. I'm not going to war. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to rest. And what does it say? What does it say? I'm going to read the NIV because it's just better to understand. Sorry. Thanks, David. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Now, we understand that David, he wasn't married to this woman. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived this and sent a word to David saying, I am pregnant. This man committed adultery. I wanted to explain that because some of us don't know the story of David, and I wanted to explain that what happened was he did. He committed sin. At the time when Christians are called to go out to war, at the time when Christians wake up and it's their decision to choose in their mind to go to battle, to go to battle against their flesh, to go to battle against their sinful nature. Gabriel, but you don't understand how powerful my sinful nature is. I know how powerful your sinful nature is, but I also know how powerful God's glory and power is inside of you because of Jesus on the inside of you. And I know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so there's no more excuses about that. We can't, if we fall, it's just simply because we walked according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. So if you want to know why you fell, it's because you did what David did. You know why I fell this morning? It's because I did what David did. I decided not to go to war against my flesh. I decided to let my flesh take over. And you know what happened? I sinned and I fell. And yes, God redeems it, but I don't want to take the grace of God in vain. I want to take the grace of God and walk with it and say, you know what? His power lives in me. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to choose today to walk in holiness. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to sit an undisciplined lifestyle. I'm not going to sit on my mat and just complain and say, I need people to help me. I need people to carry me and pick me up. Check this out. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Peter just got done preaching. A bunch of people got saved. Saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, all these good things. It says this in verse 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Who is that? Let me see your NIV. Is that the NIV? That's the New King James. Sorry, thank you, Elena. You're awesome. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of other believers or something like that. Can you think about this? What if, and I just want to ask our leaders this too, what if every single person that ever came here devoted themselves? What if every Christian that was born again decided, I am going to devote myself to walk with God? What if every person that got saved decided, I'm going to walk with God? I'm going to decide every day, I don't care what comes or what goes, I'm just going to keep walking. I'm just going to keep walking. People might die in my life, and people might get hurt, and people might sin against me, and I might sin against other people, but I'm just going to keep walking because my faith is not in what I see or what I feel. My faith is in the power of God that rose Jesus from the dead, and that's what enables me to live a godly life. They devoted themselves. If you go on, it says that they went from house to house. And people are like, man, I don't got time for a MyPod. Well, make time. Man, this is not just, we classify Christianity as a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle, it's a life. When you give your life to Jesus, he becomes your Lord. Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus as your Lord, so walk in him. He is your Lord. He is your master. Everything is his. And he desires that you would walk, not just with him, but with other believers. Coming to church every Thursday night, make it happen. And maybe you work on a Thursday, you can't make it. Well, come to church on a Sunday. Make sure you're going to church. Make sure you're with other believers. Devote yourself to the Word of God. Devote yourself to seeking God in prayer. Devote yourself to giving and tithing and devote yourself to service to other people. Devote yourself to fight against your flesh every single day. Devote yourselves, and I promise you, things will change in this city. The problem is that people aren't devoting themselves. The problem is that people are sitting in their mats, and they're saying that nobody is carrying me to the pool when it gets stirred up. Man, I think it like this, is that the power of God lives inside of us. The power to have self-discipline lives in us. I know this in my own life. I was about a few months ago, me and my wife were talking about myself and how undisciplined I am, and I'm like this. And she was like, you know, she was challenging me about that. But wouldn't you say, honey, I've grown the past few months? And honestly, it's not because of something I've done. I've actually chosen to start disciplining myself and to see if I have the ability to. I really do, because God lives in me. My encouragement tonight is that you would do the same. My encouragement is that you would devote yourself, guys. That you would decide every day that I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to keep walking. John chapter 6. You don't have to go there. It's like one of the longest chapters. Anyway, and so Jesus says to these guys, he says in like verse 50 or something like that, he says, eat of my flesh. You've heard this before. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's kind of creepy and crazy. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Bible says that many people said, that's a hard saying. How are anybody going to receive that? Jesus looks at all of his other people and says, are you offended by this? He was basically saying, not to necessarily physically eat his flesh, he's talking spiritually, take part in his death and take part in who he was and what he did on earth. Take part in his blood. While we take communion, it's to symbolize that we're taking part in what Jesus did on the cross, that he forgave us. And so he says something really hard physically, or tangibly that we could see and we could understand. Emotionally, it stirred things up in people. They were like, what the heck? You know what the Bible says? John 6:66. Have you heard this before? John 6:66. I think this is crazy that it was John. And I'm not really a big guy about numbers and stuff and about 666, but I do know this is pretty crazy. John 6:66 says this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus turns around, and he didn't find his confidence in how many people were following him. He didn't care about it. He just did what God told him to do, and God took care of the rest. The Bible says that he turns around. I love this. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Something just traumatic happened in your life. At this point, it was just all these guys are following Jesus because he was a cool guy saying all these good things. I got to kind of wrap. I'm trying to go as quick as I can. But Jesus is saying all these things, and people are following him like he's the next candidate for being the governor or the Caesar. And so they're all like, oh my gosh, oh yeah, you're amazing. I'll do whatever you say. And he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Like, all right, peace out, dog. You know, like literally, like all of them left. And Jesus looks at the 12 disciples that he handpicked and said, you come follow me. He looked at them, he says, do you want to go away too? And I love what Peter says, because this must be the response of every person in here. You want to know what will keep us? This is what will keep us. This is what will help you to walk day by day. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know. We have come to believe, and the word know is the word gnosko. It means to encounter something. We have come to believe and encounter that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? I just like saying that word. It's fun. One of you is a devil. Jesus looks at them and he says, do you want to go also? Peter goes, where else will we go? Judas Smith says this. I don't know if Judas Smith is a youth pastor and soon to be pastor down in a church in Seattle called the City Church. He says the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian is that an immature Christian has options. Let me tell you something. As for me and my wife, we have no other options. We're serving Jesus no matter what happens. No matter what happens. But how? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the last verse. Because I think this sums it all up. Because if we're going to devote ourselves, I need a motivation. If I don't got a motivation, then I don't care about anything else. I need a motivation. And what does it say? For the love of Christ, chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What's the thing that's going to give me no other option? You know this word compel? I got it here in my Greek. I'll even read it to you. It's the word suneko. It basically means to bring together, to hold together, to constrain, to incarcerate. He's saying the love of God incarcerates me. The love of God, it's like this. In every use of the word, there is a sense of constraint, a tight grip that prevents an escape. The love of Christ leaves us no choice except to live our lives for him. Paul was saying, his love gives me no other option. I am serving him, and that's it. You can crucify me, you can yell at me, you can call me what you want to call me. I am living for him because his love for me gives me no other choice. He loves me in spite of what I do. He loves me unconditionally. Can you hear the piano? Can you hear the piano? He loves me unconditionally. I want you to picture this because as we're closing up, I want us to picture something. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height, depth, width, angels, demons, no power. It's like this. It's like an immovable object just sits on you. This unconditional love just falls on you. This love that gives itself to you no matter what you do, it's just going to love you. Not just any love, it's the love of God. Man, the Bible says the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Could you think about something immovable? If I was immovable and I sat on Seth's lap, that means he couldn't move me. That means he couldn't even stand up, because if he stood up, then he would be moving me. So he would have to live his life around me sitting on his lap. That's a little awkward. If Reed Anderson was about to stand up and I hugged him and I was immovable and I didn't let go, it would leave him no other choice but to stay with me and to live his life. That's kind of awkward. But to live his life for me. If I didn't let go of him, he would give up. Okay, I give up. Your love compels me. I give up. You don't let go. I keep falling and you just keep loving me. I make a mistake and you forgive me. I run away from you and you still pursue me. It leaves me no other choice. It leaves me no other choice but to walk with him. It leaves me no other choice but to choose every day to discipline my life and live for him. To no longer live for myself, but to live for him who died and rose again. I encourage you tonight to think about this. The Bible says to test yourself. Ask yourself, where am I? Can I encourage you? I've come a long ways. I've been very immature, very broken, very insecure, very lost and stuff, even when I was sin, guys. But you know what I chose to do? I said, I don't know what it is. I just know he loves me. And so I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to keep walking. No matter what, I'm just going to keep walking. I'm just going to keep putting my faith in him. No matter what, I'm just going to keep walking. And he's going to do something in me. Because the Bible says that if we follow him, he will make us. He will transform us. My encouragement tonight is that you would walk with the Lord. Because he so loved you. Because his love is set on you. I don't feel it. Yeah, we'll just receive it by faith. I'm telling you tonight, God loves you. And his love is unconditional. Let that motivate you. Amen? Well, let's meditate on this. Let's devote ourselves. Amen? Let's put our faith in the power of God. Not on our own feelings or emotions. People that live roller coaster lifestyles are people that don't put their faith in the power of God, because the power of God doesn't do this. The power of God is steady, strong. The grace of God is strong. It goes on forever. And so people that do this, are their faith is in their emotions. If I'm feeling like it, I'll serve God. If I'm not feeling like it, I'm not going to serve God. If I feel like I could be a good person, I'm going to be a good person. If I don't feel like I'm... No, but you today, every day, can choose. Today, I'm going to live holy. Today, I'm going to read my word. Today, I'm going to read my... Can we just read our Bibles? Let's just read our Bibles. Let's start with that. Just read a whole book. Read the book of Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of Acts. Great book. Read the book of Colossians and ask the Lord to speak to you. I test you to ask the Lord to speak to you even tonight. And I guarantee he will speak to you. I'm going to pray for you and we're going to be dismissed. I love you. In our ministry, I as we were worshiping, the Lord asked me to trade my life for you. And I want to trade my life for each and every one of you. I want to trade my life for this, because this is worth it. There's nothing like this. There's nothing like being with human beings that are real and live forever. And we're here, and our leadership team are here to trade our lives for you. And we're asking and encouraging you to keep coming. And bring your friends. And come and get restored and get blessed. Amen? We love you. I'm going to pray and I'm going to bless you, and we're going to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, tonight, we thank you for your love. Come on, just thank him for his love. With your own mouths, just tell him thank you. Whether you feel it or not, just tell him thank you. Whether you believe it or not, just thank him. thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that your unconditional love pursues me. God, I thank you that you love me. God, that you forgive me. Even this morning, you forgave me. God, I thank you for all this, for all that you do. My heart is overflowing with thankfulness. I bless you tonight, Lord, and I give you all the glory and all the power and all the honor. And I pray for your people tonight. God, for those that don't know you, God, that you would lead them to you. God, that your grace would work in them and turn them to you. God, I pray for every person in here, the God that is discouraged. God, I pray you'd encourage them tonight. God, every person that's timid, I pray that you would give them power tonight and encourage them tonight. Every person that's weak, God, that you would strengthen them tonight, Lord. And every person that's strong, God, you'd help them to continue to walk day in and day out with their faith in you. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would continue to speak to them and pour out your love in them. I pray a blessing over your people, God, that as they go in and as they go out, they'd be blessed. And God, everything they put their hands to would prosper. I thank you for your love and for your glory in our lives today. And I bless you now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys are dismissed. Thanks for coming. Be blessed.